Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hello again, it's Don Fluckinger from Search Health IT, live at the American Telemedicine Association's annual meeting in Tampa. I'm here today with Dr. Dale Alverson, the president of the association. Thanks for joining us today for this podcast interview.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So, Dr. Alverson, what are the hottest technologies you've seen here on the exhibit hall floor?
Well, I think what's happening when you look at information communication technology is we're seeing a shift to using a whole spectrum of technologies. And one of the big things that we're seeing is the use of mobile devices, use of the smartphone, and use of the now tablet computers that add the advantage of mobility. And we're seeing that being rapidly adopted in a very similar way that we saw the cell phone adopted in general, because it added an advantage of having mobility. You're not tethered to a line. You don't have to go to a certain place to communicate. And the same thing's happening in healthcare and in telemedicine, that these mobile devices are adding real value to the user and for that matter, for the patient. So we're seeing that. There are thousands now of applications related to health that you can put on your smartphone. And the same thing is happening with the tablets that have this mobility. They're all mini computers, but they're communication devices as well. And in fact, we're looking at some new technology that allows you to do high-level video conferencing right through your smartphone and from your tablet and from any device for that matter to other devices, what's called SIP, the session-initiated protocol that allows crosstalk between devices. These are real advances in telecommunication technology that's going to foster telehealth and, again, improve access to care for both patients and interaction between providers. And that's one thing. The other thing is remote monitoring, the ability to now have your vital signs, your blood sugar, a variety of other health indicators monitored on a regular basis. There's a so-called smart Band-Aid. Can monitor your oxygenation, your EKG, even devices now that are going to be able to measure your blood pressure, glucose sensors, what have you, that can stream data and then with appropriate alerts, alert someone that perhaps somebody needs to pay attention. Alert the patient that your variables are out of whack. So I see mobile devices and remote monitoring become one of the new things that we're seeing arise in telemedicine, and we're seeing it here at the ATA's conference.
So I've heard that you heard back from Don Berwick on your comments about telemedicine credentialing. Sort of walk us through what the ATA said to CMS about its credentialing rule, and then sort of what kind of feedback you got on that.
Well, you know, Don Berwick is the current appointed director of CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And really, as we've talked to Don and his staff, many people on the staff that have been on staff for a long time at CMS, they're beginning to see the potential value of telemedicine to improve health and what Don Berwick called the triple aims: improve access to care for every American. Telemedicine is showing it can do that, improve outcomes, improve health, and reduce costs. And we're showing that. So CMS has been very open. Dr. Berwick's been very open. Marilyn Tavener, others on CMS, they're really listening, and they're soliciting input from ATA. So what happened this past year is that that CMS came out with a notice of proposed rulemaking that said we would be willing to accept credentialing and privileging by what's called by proxy from where the consultant is credentialed and privileged so that the originating site where the patient is could accept it without having to individually credential and privilege every telemedicine provider. This is a huge burden for both the originating site, that is the site where the patient is located, as well as the consulting site. So if a consultant, say, for example, a cardiologist providing telemedicine services to 50 different sites, then they would have to be credentialed and privileged, and that's usually at least every 2 years, at 50 different sites. A huge burden. And also for the remote site, what's called the originating site where the patient is, for every telemedicine service provider that comes in a facility, they'd have to credential and privilege all of them. And they're really not in the best position to judge those qualifications. So what CMS said in their notice of proposed rulemaking, they could accept, any originating site could accept credentialing and privileging if they were a hospital or a critical access hospital from the consulting site. ATA put in comments, as they were asked to do, as many organizations did, and we said, why just hospitals? Why not clinics, ambulatory care settings? And what just got announced, CMS has just said, yes, we allow credentialing and privileging by proxy for hospitals, critical access hospitals, ambulatory care settings, teleradiology, I understand even in ICUs, EICUs, or tele-ICUs. This is huge. And I applaud CMS for doing this. We are so excited that this is going to actually do the things that Don Berwick said. Improve access, that will then in turn improve outcomes, and it's going to reduce costs. This is a major, major milestone, and it points out that CMS is understanding that this has value, and we are so excited that this announcement has come out.
Why is it, and I'm speaking as a reporter, as a layperson coming to this annual meeting, so I guess I'm seeking understanding as well. Why is it that telemedicine services aren't reimbursed by public and private payers? And what's it going to take to get those payers to see the value of them?
Well, I think part of it is that there is reimbursement taking place. Even CMS has been reimbursing, although more restricted than we like. It has to be rural, and there are other aspects right now. For most places, it has to be live, interactive audio-video. And I think, as we've talked about, there are certainly other approaches to providing health care that could be what's called asynchronous, what's called store and forward, sharing images with a dermatologist, judging a lesion, is it cancer, not cancer, pathologist, or for an ophthalmologist or eye specialist, looking at a retinal image. Do you have retinopathy, eye disease of diabetes, for example? And they don't have to see the patient live interactively. So the reimbursement takes place, but it's been very much more restricted. In our dialogue with CMS, which I think has been very constructive, saying you should reimburse for store and forward. In these particular areas where we know it adds value, like eye exams and screening for patients with diabetes, for dermatology and so on. And I think they're beginning to listen. They've been reimbursing for that service in Alaska and Hawaii. We're saying, why not across the country? And they are willing to listen and are asking for the dialogue. What they want to reimburse and what any third-party payer wants is they want to show that you're not only improving access to care and improving health, but you're reducing costs. So CMS can't afford the upward spiraling cost. It's got to look at cost reduction. I think telemedicine is beginning to show that. So what people want, whether you're CMS or you're any third-party payer, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, United Health Group, what have you, is show me the data. And so one of the things that telemedicine and the American Telemedicine Association feels is very important is that we've got to collect the right data to show that it's having that kind of impact, improving health outcomes and reducing costs. And if we do that, I believe CMS will open the door. We'd like them to not restrict it to rural. Access to care can be just as problematic in an urban setting. So we'd like to get rid of the non-metropolitan requirement. We'd like store and forward covered. But what's really great is we believe strongly that CMS understands that. They're willing to look at it seriously. And if it's within legislative purview and statute, they're willing to look at these different options, and I believe they can.
So ATA fired off a pretty strongly worded letter to CMS last week as far as the restrictiveness of the ACO rule. How do you see telemedicine as fitting into accountable care organizations and enhancing the care?
Well, and it was a strong statement, but also recognize that CMS was looking forward to that kind of input. I think they see the American Telemedicine Association as being broadly representative of the health and telemedicine community, and with that level of feeling that we can be objective and work with CMS, they want to get those comments. In fact, they were happy to get the comments and encouraged ATA to submit comments in many ways, as they would any healthcare organization or interested stakeholder. But they looked at what ATA put forward very seriously. And one of the things we're pointing out is going back to what we've already stated, that an accountable care organization has to show that it's providing services that are going to keep people out of the hospital when they don't need to be there, decrease the use of emergency services, decrease unnecessary duplication of tests. And one of the things that we said in ATA, that telemedicine can help do that in a significant way, and in fact can reduce the unnecessary variations in care. And we've seen that across the country, where more money per capita is spent of Medicare dollars, yet the outcomes are no better. And then we look, well, maybe the patient population is different. And then we find they're really not. So we've got to decrease that unnecessary variation in care so that people are getting the most appropriate care wherever they are, and we're spending the most appropriate money. And that really gets into this whole area of accountable care organizations, the whole essence of the Affordable Care Act. And I believe strongly, wherever you stand on the issue of health care reform, people will agree that if we can improve health outcomes and reduce costs, it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican, it's hard to resist that possibility. So again, we've got to show the data, but we believe that ought to be integrated right into an accountable care organization, that telemedicine should be incorporated because it can do those things and meet the demands that are expected of accountable care organizations, decrease rehospitalization rates of the first 30 days after discharge. That you can do with better communication, that can be done with all the technologies of telemedicine, decrease unnecessary duplication of testing, and also decrease the unnecessary use of emergency services, and ultimately decrease avoidable complications. Really get into prevention. How do we keep you healthier, keep you out of the hospital, preserve your vision, your kidney function if you have diabetes, reduce the risk of amputation, all of those things, kidney disease, could be accomplished with the use of telemedicine, better monitoring and continuity and coordination of care that we can do with telemedicine technology in a meaningful way. And that was a strong message from ATA to CMS, and I think it's valid, and it has to be based on objective data, but the data is coming in. That's what we're seeing at this meeting, that people are now demonstrating the impact of their programs in a variety of health applications. We have a close relationship with industry here. We have an industry council. The exhibit hall demonstrates that. We're working with industry, say, we want you to be able to develop the products that we need, the devices, the software that we need to provide better health. And that's going to help you be successful in your business. And so that close working relationship allows the American Telemed Association to have that dialogue between industry. We have a strong institutional council. We're starting a research task force that is going to get that data that we must have if we're going to see telemedicine become a standard of care and fully integrated into our healthcare system. I think it has to happen, and it is happening, and I think it's going to make a difference in our country, and I think it's already making a difference all around the world.
Very well. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for the time. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.